Would you turn to Psalm 103? And while you're doing that, let me tell you a couple of things. First of all, I'm not going to button my jacket because it's a little tight. I had a seminary professor who told us one time that he was trying to lose some weight. And his wife, who he said, I know she loves me dearly, but she's very frank. I was getting dressed and he said, honey, have you seen my belt around the house? And she said, oh, will it go around the house now? And Bill Ledgerwood, I don't think that my wife would say that to me. Do you? No, I think she would. That's one thing. That just was spontaneous. There are a lot of people in this church that I love. Is Lennon in here? Yes, that's my son over there. Much of the time. It's my daughter's best friend, and he married one of her other best friends. Go figure. And Andrew thinks that Aunt Bethany is Aunt Bethany. She is. My daughter, who teaches at University of Mobile. I want you to know that if you can listen quickly, I will be substantive, and I will preach quickly. And I want to tell you why I'm going to bug out of here. I will be back tonight with bells on, not literally. But I got to lead a little third baseman, our ISU softball team. I worked with a lot of athletes in addition to just, you know, the general student population. My wife and I do. I've been working with the football team for some time. But I've lately just kind of been hanging out at softball. It was just a door that got opened. And Thursday evening, our little third baseman, I'm going to tell you her name is Shelby Wilson. You pray for her. Today, and she's a senior. I wish they wouldn't, but they do. Their last home game is today at noon. And I want to get back for it. But I got to lead her to the Lord Thursday night. And yeah. She came into my office. And I haven't said much. This is what happens, I believe, when you do let God work. She came into my office and she said, Roger, I need God in my life and I don't know what to do. And I'm glad I knew what to do. And so tonight, I think I want to talk a little bit about, you know, do you know what to do? So that's why I'm going to bug out quickly, but I will see you this evening, okay? So the other thing I wanted to tell you about is tithing, do it. Give. Can't take it with you. It's so fun to just be the visiting preacher. I'll bet I'll get to come back, but you don't have to have me come back. But do it. Another athlete story. Later Thursday night, we have our BCM, Baptist Collegiate Ministry, also hosts our Fellowship of Christian Athletes at ISU because nobody was doing it a few years ago. So I just started having a Bible study for athletes called Spiritual Strength. And guys started coming, including F.N. Lutz. Now, you watch that name. He's been the starting center on Indiana State's not particularly impressive but still solid football team. And FN is probably going to get a shot at playing on Sunday real soon. So just remember, and that's his name. His first name is just the letters FN, no periods, okay? And his father is FN the second. I'm sorry, FN Jr., and his grandfather is FN Sr., so he's FN the third. You remember that name. You're probably going to see him playing. But our current quarterback, Mike Parrish, shared a testimony Thursday night just spontaneously. We had our Amy and Lennon, and I don't know if others you know this, we had the yard sale set up, the summer mission yard sale, which means that our campus ministry building looked like a thrift shop on steroids. I mean, it was everywhere. And one of the fun things to do, the athletes came in Thursday night, and I said, everybody find something that kind of speaks to your relationship with God right now. Oh, it was fun. One of the volleyball players grabbed a crock pot and said, I realize that God's got me on slow cook and I want to be microwaved. You know what I'm saying? We want things to happen quickly. One of our big linemen got up and said he had just this little bitty ice scraper. It never worked for him, but he said, I realize that God is always kind of scraping things away and it doesn't always feel good. And football players know that. Our quarterback, I forget what it was he had, But he said, my girlfriend who's up in Michigan, I know her, Lauren, has been kind of gently bugging me about tithing. And he said, I just didn't think I could do it. Full scholarship football players get about $600 a month stipend. And I mean, that's to pay their rent and buy food if they live off campus and so forth. He said, I just didn't think I could do it, but I started because she bugged me about it. And he said, God has just been giving back to me more than I could have imagined. Isn't it amazing? Don't despair about young adults and college students. God's taken care of his kingdom out there. So I also want to tell you, Rayanne, where are you? Right there. Mont Blanc, the music this morning. I know it's a little, you know, Dave's not here. I don't know, you know, he's got a crazy friend and he's up here. But I just love the Tires, but I especially love the music. And you might have been a little nervous, but to me it sounded beautiful. I was trekking on a mission trip in the Himalayas in 1995 with a bunch of students and some other campus ministers. And we were, yeah, I know it sounds exotic and impressive, and I mean it was, but about the fifth day into it, it wasn't fun anymore. And we were trekking through in the Himalayas. It's actually pretty dry until you get way up there, and then it's pretty cold. And we were thirsty, and the air was very dry. And my buddy and I started singing, He hideth my soul in the cleft of the rock that shadows a dry thirsty. We just started singing that in the mountains. And I thought of that when we were singing it a little while ago. And my mother used to stand at the kitchen window at the sink. And there was a window here. My mother had double standards. I want you to know that. She could squirt us from the kitchen sink out the window. We could not squirt in with the hose. But my mother would... I really learned a lot of hymns by hearing my mother stand at the kitchen sink and singing, I love to tell the story. And she'd get the words wrong sometimes. But I got the hymn. So... Psalm 103, I've given you ample time to get there. Psalm 103. First pastor, I got to tell you one more thing about Bill Edgerwood. I was so glad to see him here. Bill cut my hair 30 years ago. It's been a cut a few times since. But also I visited when Bill was pastoring in Sealyville. 30 years ago. Anyway, I don't know if you love him, but I do. So, his wife's a little bit more attractive, but tell her just a smidgen, Bill. Okay. Psalm 103. I want to tell you three things this morning about Psalm 103. And it's like we've kind of been in the Psalms already. Okay. First of all, the first thing about this Psalm that, and it's actually throughout scripture, but it's really cool. It is commendable to talk to yourself. In fact, it's not only commendable, it's good. A godly self-talk is healthy. Secondly, sin and the disease of sin, or what we just call sin in general, is much more deadly and complicated than we really tend to think until... it just begins to manifest itself in our lives all over the place. Thirdly, real praise can't be shut up. A real sense of, oh my gosh, God is real and good and he is a healer and a forgiver. It can't be suppressed. It's like a volcano in you. And it does start out slowly, and let me show you why. I'm going to read this entire psalm through once, maybe three times, because I think Scripture ought to be able to speak for itself. I'm reading from New American Standard. Back at my office, I have the New American Standard duct tape version, but it doesn't travel anymore. Bless the Lord, O my soul. See him talking to himself already? And all that is within me, bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul. And forget none of his benefits. It's like walking into the God's human resources office. You're getting your benefits reviewed. He heals all your diseases. Now, forgive me for being an old English teacher, but I want to remind you something. That does not just mean physical diseases, actually put a hyphen in there, and it is diseases, lack of ease. He heals those too, not just your physical diseases. He redeems your life from the pit. Didn't Irma Bombeck write a book, If Life's a Bowl of Cherries, Why Did I Get the Pits? He redeems your life from the pit. He crowns you with loving kindness and compassion. He satisfies your years with good things. How many of us who have some gray, maybe not some gray, all gray, know that? So that your youth is renewed like the eagle. The Lord performs righteous deeds and judgments for all who are oppressed. He made known his way to Moses, his acts to the sons of Israel. Oh my goodness, the Lord is compassionate and gracious. He is slow to anger and abounding in loving kindness. He will not always strive with us, nor will he keep his anger forever. He's not dealt with us according to our sins, nor rewarded us according to our iniquities. For as high as the heavens are above the earth, how high is that? So great is his loving kindness towards those who fear him. As far as the east is from the west, so far has he removed our transgressions from us. I checked with my electrical engineering, sometime physicist brother-in-law, and he tells me that's infinity. As far as the east is from the west. Just as a father has compassion on his children, so the Lord has compassion on those who fear him. For he himself, he knows our frame. He's mindful that we are but dust. As for man, his days are like grass, as a flower of the field, so he flourishes. When the wind has passed over it, it is no more, and its place acknowledges it no longer. But the loving kindness of the Lord is from everlasting to everlasting on those who fear him, and his righteousness to children's children. My wife prays. Our daughter is not even married yet, and my wife prays for our daughter's children's children's children. That's the faith of my Rose, who isn't here because she won't travel. She doesn't travel with me. She thinks it's much more important to stay and teach her Sunday school class, Rayanne. I don't understand that. To those who keep his covenant and those who remember his precepts to do them. Verse 19, the Lord has established his throne in the heavens, and his sovereignty rules over all. Bless the Lord, you his angels, mighty in strength, who perform his word, obeying the voice of his word. Bless the Lord, all you his hosts, you who serve him, doing his will. Bless the Lord, all you works of his, in all places of his dominion. Bless the Lord, O my soul. It's commendable to talk to yourself. I find in Scripture other evidences of people talking to themselves, but this is the best scenario. You want to hear about some other guy that was talking to himself? It wasn't a good scenario. It was the rich farmer in the parable that Jesus told, who thought that he was so well off that he was going to build bigger barns. And remember that? And the Lord said that night, you silly man. The Lord's, your life is required of you tonight. Do you know why he was talking to himself? There wasn't anybody else around. That's what greed does to you. He's talking to himself. That's not a good scenario. In our day and age, of course, a lot of people seem to be talking to themselves when they're actually on their cell phones. Oh my gosh, lady on an elevator, I'm behind her, saying something. I didn't realize she's talking to somebody else. Why don't you meet me in your apartment? That threw me off for a moment. My wife has threatened for years to look at me on a crowded elevator and say, kiss you, I don't even know you. And she would do it, wouldn't she? Yeah, she would. She would. Learn to start out saying to yourself, bless the Lord, because ourselves, you understand that if any person is in Christ, he or she is a new creation. The old has passed away. Behold, all has become new, correct? Yes. But is the old nature still hanging around? Yes. We know that. And am I right that your old nature still talks to you? I'm out jogging on the track. I'm not good or fast. I'm almost 62, so there. But I go out and I jog around the track. I run my chubbiness, my bareness around the ISU track, or I have no excuses. I live across from Sarah Scott Middle School, and there's a track there. It's like, okay, I'll do it. I'm not fast or good, but my body says to me, stop. And I say to my body, no, we're going to keep going. I wake up on a Sunday morning and my old nature says to me, nobody's going to care if you're at church or not this morning. But the new creation in me, the living Christ, says, go worship. Other people are tired and broken and worried too. Go worship. Don't go. Don't worry about pretending. Pretenders get what's coming to them. Go to worship, even if you have your shirt on backwards or something. I've done that. I've worn blue and black socks and brown. You know, I mean, I've come into church, and I'm sure people have wondered, what in the world? But I'm glad I got up and worshiped. Talk to yourself. Say, soul, we're going to trust God. We spend way too much time instead of giving our attention to the Lord. And I mean, I think this is really pivotal. Next to life itself, and of course the offer of eternal life, I do believe the greatest gift that God has given us is the gift of, within His sovereignty, of self-determination. We can decide to do things or not, can't we? There are things, I think, in your life right now. I know there are in mine. Honestly, yeah, let's just use today as an example. It would be easier to go to Amy and Lennon's house and eat a great big meal, probably a steak and baked potato, and take a long nap. But no, I'm not going to do that, even though you probably have that ready for me. I'm going to drive back to Terre Haute because the girl I just got led to the Lord needs encouragement. Probably won't get my nap this afternoon. But semester's almost over. And I think for one more year, Rose and I can say we fought the good fight, we'd finished the race. This is our 30th year, Rayanne. Next Thursday. I've known you guys almost that long. I've known Bill that entire time. Bless the Lord. Bless Him. Count your many blessings. Name them one by one. Keep track of them. Write them down somewhere. Bless the Lord, O my soul. By the way, you can't fake this. You choose and you keep choosing and it becomes real. Notice something next after talking to yourself. Sin is much more complicated than we think. Look with me at verses 10 through 12. He has not dealt with us according to our sins. I love that. It makes me think of 1 Corinthians 13. I think it's verse 5. Love keeps no record of sins. If I speak in the tongue of men and of angels but have not love, I'm just a ding-a-ling, clanging gong. Give away all I have to the poor. I can, you know, give up my body to the flames, but there's no love. That's why Jesus is going to say to some people on that day, Lord, you know, when they say, Lord, didn't we do all this cool stuff for you? We cast out demons, we preached, we healed. And He's going, I'm sorry, what's your name? They didn't have the right motive. You can be religious. You can have churchianity, not have the right motive. But when you do, it changes everything. David here is speaking authentically to himself from the depths of his heart. And the reason he is so enormously grateful for what God has done in his life, because David knew he was a sinner. The first word here in verse 10 is falling short, the word that we're used to. He has not dealt with us according to our shortfallingness. We just try and try, we just can't get there. But there's two more words. It took three Hebrew words, at least, to describe the condition that sin has caused in us. The second one is in the second part of verse 10. He has not rewarded us according to our what? iniquities. That word literally means twistedness, perversion. See, one of the main ramifications of the virus of sin in humanity is that we take everything good and we do what? Twist it. The two primary examples are food and sex. But we do it with beauty. We do it with music. I mean, there's music. There's just a lot of stuff. I'm not down. Oh my gosh, I love anything of any age. You know, there's a great, I don't know how some of you feel, there's a great Christian rapper named Lecrae. Love that guy. But then there's other stuff that you listen to, you go, whoa, this is like out of darkness. It's twisted. But there's a third word. Verse 12, as far as the east is from west, so far has he removed our transgressions from us. That's the spirit of rebellion. Of, I can do it myself, I don't need you. If you're a C.S. Lewis Chronicles of Narnia reader in the last battle, it's the dwarves. Those little dwarves sitting in the new Narnia. But they're not for the enemy Calormans, but they're not for Aslan either. What they say is the dwarves are for the dwarves. We're just for ourselves. You see what David is aware of? He's telling his soul with an inner volcanic gratitude and joy. He's telling his soul, do you realize what God has done in my, David's life? Think about it. David was an adulterer. He had sons who were murderers. He wasn't really nearly as wise as his father. I still don't understand why he did what he did to Joab. There's a lot about David that just perplexes me. But he is a man after God's own heart. Do you get it? Do you get it? Jesus died because he sees in us what we don't see in us. Your joy is magnified exponentially when you are honest with God. One of the prayers that I have almost daily is, God, help me to realize the depth of my sin. Because it's out of understanding just how much Jesus did for you, just how depraved you are without the life of the Lord Jesus Christ in your life. It's realizing how sick you would be without him that makes you grateful. It's not trying to minimize it. Don't do that. All have sinned. All of us. I really did used to think, growing up in church, I used to think that there were levels, you know. Like, you know, Mrs. Lowe, my Sunday school teacher, she couldn't have been much of a sinner. But without Jesus, she was dying of it. And she told us that. Lastly, praise is progressive. It's volcanic. I'm going to read this again quickly. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. I want you to watch what happens. I'll give you a hint. He starts out talking to himself, and then you tell me what happens. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget none of his benefits. Verse 3, he pardons all your iniquities. He heals all your diseases. He redeems your life from the pit, crowns you with loving kindness and compassion, satisfies your years with good things so that your youth is renewed like the eagle. And all that eagle has to do is spread his wings and the undercurrents get up under it. The Lord performs righteous deeds, judgments for all who are oppressed. He made known his way to Moses way back when, his acts to the sons of Israel. What's the Lord like? He's compassionate and gracious, slow to anger and abounding in loving kindness. He will not always strive with us, nor will he keep his anger forever. He has not dealt with us according to what we deserve. I have to pause here and tell you that I was at Sears one time at the back at the information counter or the whatever you call it, where you ask people about, you bring stuff back. And a guy came up and he put something down on there, and you know what he said? I want what I deserve. And I stood back. I don't want what I deserve, even at Sears. Do you want what you deserve? He's not dealt with us according to our sins. He has not rewarded us according to our iniquities, our twistedness. For as high as the heavens are above the earth, so great is his loving kindness toward those who fear him. As far as the east is from the west, so far has he removed our transgressions, our spirit of rebellion. And I don't need you, God. That's how far he's removed that. Just as a father has compassion on his children, so the Lord has compassion on those who fear him. I believe David is standing up by now. He started out kneeling. For he himself knows our frame. He's mindful that we are but dust. As for man, his days are like grass. I believe David was outside the city. Maybe it was springtime. He's standing up. I just got goosebumps because I love pictures like this. You artistic people could do a song or make a drawing or a sculpture or something with this. Now David's praise that started out probably just within himself. No actual articulation of words. Now he is standing up talking out loud. And he's looking around at the flowers. He had his eyes closed. He was on his knees before. As man, his days are like grass. As a flower of the field, so he flourishes. When the wind has passed over, it is no more. And its place acknowledges it no longer. But the loving kindness of the Lord is from everlasting to everlasting on those who fear him. I think the sun is setting. First stars are twinkling. I'm telling you, this is my holy imagination. But there is context here to believe that David is outside the city. And I think that evening's coming on. Loving kindness of the Lord is from everlasting to everlasting on those who fear him. His righteousness to children's children, to those who keep his covenant and who remember his precepts to do them. He's standing up. First stars are twinkling. The Lord has established his throne in the heavens. And his sovereignty rules over all. Bless the Lord, you his angels. He's talking to angels now. And himself. Bless the Lord, you his angels, mighty in strength, who perform his word, obeying the voice of his word. Bless the Lord, all you his hosts. Those are the big guys way out there. Jesus could have called a whole host, right? He's now, see what happens when praise is genuine, when you know what you could have, should have gotten, and you didn't because of Jesus? Mighty in strength, you angels who perform his words, obeying the voice of his word. Bless the Lord, all you his hosts, you who serve him, doing his will. Bless the Lord, you works of his, in all places of his dominion. Bless the Lord, O my soul. I think he's crying. I think he has to pause. I wonder. Why we don't find ourselves in this attitude. Amy Bethany called me the other day, Lennon. She was crying. My daughter called me. Crying, Rayanne. You don't know why? She is Dr. Bethany Baer, and yes, I'm proud of her. She teaches English literature. She just got designated as the honors program person at University of Mobile. She called me crying. She said, Daddy, I'm so happy. I just needed to tell somebody. God is so good. And we get caught up in trivial things and material things, don't we? Oh, God is good. And she said, I'm so glad she said this. She said, Daddy, I knew you would understand. Because she's caught me crying a couple times out of gratitude. Wow. Go talk to yourself. Let's pray. Father, thank you for worship, which is the weight of your existence and your presence on us that causes us, in the only way that is good, to fear you. A fear that is not a fear of harm, but a fear of awe. Father, in our midst, here this morning, we need you. Father, I need you because I'm tired but I'm good. I'm just tired. And others need you because there are things going on in our lives that we somehow, Father, we think maybe you don't know about or don't care. But Father, you do. Lord Jesus, hear us. And cause this to rise up within us today. And Father, put us around each other. Because God, though we may start out talking alone, we need you. Do your inviting this morning. Anyone, Father, however they want to, where they are, to come up. I don't know, Father, however you want to invite people into your presence for whatever need this morning, please. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.